And I tell you, this world that we live in, it just seems like things are getting worse all the time, right? And so we have to be prepared. We talked about in Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the full armor of God. So we talked about the fact that we're in a battle, not of flesh, right, but of a spiritual battle, okay? So we're dealing with principalities and powers and high places. I mean, we have people that literally are 100% Satan worshipers, okay, that worship Satan, that love Luciferianism, and that are running aspects of this world. And so we have to know that they're in power, places of power, even in the so-called churches, right? You have people that do not believe in God whatsoever that call themselves pastors and leaders of certain churches. And so we have a battle ahead for us. I mean, this is a hard battle. We got to be ready. But what's the basic fundamental thing that we have to remember to get back to the basics? What wise men in the Bible told us? All this stuff here is vanity, vanity, vanity. Then he told us what the whole duty of man is. What's that? You got it. Fear God, keep his commandments. So you got kids that are so confused right now. Who am I? Where did I come from? What's my purpose in life? I don't know, so I'm going to commit suicide. You know, I'm so confused. I'm depressed. And then they're depressed. They have a hole. They don't know why they're on this earth. And there's the simple plan right there in Ecclesiastes. It tells us the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. But what about those commandments? Let's go to the Old Testament first. We're going to look at, Exodus, but I think we'll do, let's do Deuteronomy. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Exodus, we're familiar with in Exodus chapter 20, when we break it down as far as the commandments of God, right? The Ten Commandments, we call it. Thou shalt not have no other gods before thee, before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven. It's man that makes images of God and images of Jesus, but that's not what he wants us to do, okay? That's what man started to do. And God told us in his commandments not to do that. So let's go into Deuteronomy chapter 20, and let's see what verse we want to go to here. We'll start with, oh, I'm sorry, I said Deuteronomy 20, didn't I? It's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, okay. And we'll start with verse 4. And we've heard this before. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Lord, one. Now, just by that statement, hear, O Israel, our Lord our God is one. So, what should we take from that? Huh? There's only one. What do we have? So, he's the great I am, the only true living God. Why is that so important? He's a jealous God. That's right. That's true. Is there anything going on in today's society where we need to keep in remembrance that there's one God? Is there any things that you can see going on in the world? False teachings. And what are those false teachings teaching us? Things of the world. Like what things of the world? Materialistic things. What is that, Kelly? What'd you say? Oh, I thought she threw one out there. Doc Kelly had one he threw out there. Okay, how about money? How about filthy lucre? Okay, how many people have sold their souls for filthy lucre, right? Sell their souls willingly. They don't care. It's all about the Benjamins, they say, right? They want the man to rain down. They call let it rain. Raining money is what that stands for. And you see a lot of symbolism in the music videos. And so it's all about the man that makes it rain. Well, who do you think the man is that makes it rain? It's the dark one, right? The evil one, the serpent, okay? He makes it rain. And what we were dealing with today is people that go back to the Garden of Eden, when God commanded man not to eat of that tree in the midst of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat. He says, if you eat of that tree, ye shall what? Surely die. Then serpent came and says, ye shall not surely die. Added one little word. But then he went on to explain, because God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open and you too shall be as gods. What do you think they're teaching today? You are your own God. You're the one in charge of your own destiny. And that's what they're teaching, that you yourself are God. That you shouldn't be worshiping a God because you yourself are God. And that's what they're teaching, and that's the Luciferian teaching as well. They teach that in the Masons, high to 33 degree and higher. They start introducing that after the 33 degree in Mason, Freemason. And so you understand that they're worshiping that Luciferian doctrine, which teaches that each person is their own God. Well, why is that? Now, I say that because that's what you see in the media. That's what you're going to see on TV, okay, the television shows. That's what you're going to see in the movies. All that stuff is being implanted in your eyes, going into your subconscious, so that you forget about that basic command that says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Only one, not multiple. Does anybody know about the practices, the religious practices in India? Y'all know something about that practice in India? How many gods they have in India? A whole lot of them, right? There's many, many gods. And that's what's being taught as well. There's not just one. There's multiple gods. There's many gods. And they're trying to bring all the religions together, you know. Yes, it's always sure is. I mean, many gods. They worship the rat. They worship the cow. And there's just, the Hindu religion. And we have the Muslim religion that teaches Allah. And Allah is not the same as Elohim. Elohim, that word is a Hebrew word. And you find that in the beginning, God created, okay, in the beginning, Genesis 1, that word, in the beginning, God, and it uses the term God. God actually is Elohim, and Elohim is the plural form of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Allah is not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So what they'll teach you is that it's the same. It's just a different way of saying God. You may say God. They just, and then the Hebrew people may call him Yahshua or something like that, or Yahweh, but it's the same thing. Allah is the same, is what they'll teach you. But it's not. And they'll say that Krishna in the Hare Krishna religion, that Krishna is the same as Christ. But I've hung around Krishnas for a long, long time to know that the religious teachings is way different, you know, than anything that we've taught. And there's multiple gods when you go into the Krishna religion, just like in the Hindu religion, you know, it's multiple gods. And so we have to go back to the basics. We have to understand and stand firm on the fact that there is but one. And that gets us in trouble, doesn't it? Because we go against the majority. We are the minority, okay? In this world, and it's getting worse. I have a coworker. She has family in Nigeria. They broke off from Nigeria. They're called Biafra, and in Biafra they had an illegal takeover of their government. The Muslims took over, and they are rounding up and killing Christians. That's going on in India. That's been, I mean, horrible things. I've seen videos that I wish I could get out of my head. About a little girl that was just brutalized and burned alive just because she attended Bible study. So that's the kind of stuff that we see going on. Remember Revelation, right? In the book of Revelation, it talks about the early church, and the Roman Empire was in control on the earth at that time. Guess what? It was illegal to practice Christianity. Why? Because Caesar was God. You're supposed to worship him. The emperor of Rome is your God. Now we have a political system where the government is your God. In a lot of places, in communist places, government's your God. And you can't have any other religion. They demonize you if you try to. Christianity, they in China right now, communist China, they're stomping down right now, cracking down on Christians. Because government is your God. So let us go on. In verse, and this is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Now, what do we see? I want you to notice there's a little word that's used in this scripture, this verse. What little word is being used? It's used three times. All. Okay, I want you to pay attention to it. So now, thou shalt love. Love. Do we understand what love is? Okay? Now, who are we supposed to be loving? The Lord. Our God. So, how do we love God? How do we love Him? Ah, if you love me, you obey my commandments. That's the biggie. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You obey some of my commandments, the majority of my commandments, the commandments that you like, the commandments that you believe in, or all. Yeah, all the commandments. So now here we've been told the Lord shall love, and thou, that's us. And again, this is, Brother Eric, while you're reading in the Old Testament, that's the Israelites, that's under the Old Testament, but we're talking about the same God, okay? And then I can go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're talking to Christians at that time and find the same kind of language of what we should be doing. So, let's look at, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. What is the heart they're talking about? Where is that located? Huh? So, man, somebody's rubbing their head. What's behind that forehead? Okay? That's what it's talking about. That's the biblical heart. Your thoughts. Love the Lord with all your heart. That heart, biblical heart. This thing that thinks. Okay? So what? How do we get it to that point? How do we get it to that point? What's the first step? Okay, good. Meditate. God told us about meditation. I told y'all transcendental meditation and other spiritual meditations say to empty your mind. But God says to meditate on the Word. Okay? So we meditate on the Word of God. The Word of God goes in, fills up our heart, okay, with the Word. So there's no room for anything else if God's Word is all in there, right? And so that's what we do. All our thoughts. When we wake up in the morning, where should our thoughts be? When we go throughout our day, all through the day, where should our thoughts be? And when we go to bed at night, before we go to bed at night, where should our thoughts be? I can't tell. Okay? That's when you're loving Him with all your heart, is when you're obeying His commandments, and he is here. His commandments are here all the time. There's nothing we should do without what? Consulting Him, praying. Is this something I should do, Lord? Please guide me today. Help me to, whatever problems we have, we should be praying without cease, right? The Bible's very clear about that we should be praying without cease. So, be joyful always, pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks. James chapter 1. Now let's look at the heart, the mind, and with thy soul, and with all thy might. That's your whole being, isn't it? Your whole soul, your mind, your thought, that's the whole body, that's the whole man. So the whole man. So not just the spiritual man that goes to church and the one that prays, but even the physical one, right? Man that goes to work. So when we go to work, we should praise Him. When we are in with our friends, when we're gathering, entertainment, everything we do. So we got to kind of watch what goes inside. Because the devil knows exactly how to get inside. What's a good way the devil gets inside of you and you don't even know he's in there? Anybody? Yes. Not caring? Okay, a state of mind, an opposite state of mind. So that's opposite of what God wants you to be, okay? And so you allow the devil to be able to enter in because you're not behaving godly. So now the devil has room to come in. So you're not obeying God's commands to be happy always, loving your neighbor, loving each other. We're supposed to love each other and all these things of loving, not caring. I mean, we're supposed to be about helping people and doing things for people, edifying one another. And if you don't care, you're not doing any of those things. So the devil come in. Devil, that was the thing, yes? There you go. That's it. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The Bible says resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when you recognize that's what he's trying to do, resist your devil, right? You're looking at a magazine, and all of a sudden, you know, you're reading the article, and then there you have a cladly, you know, women and lingerie. So the eyes, the flesh, wants to continue to look and continue to look and get into that. And all of a sudden, now you're doing something that's not godly. You're pleasing the flesh. And so you can say, I see you, devil. Ah, get thee behind me, devil. I resist you in the name of God. So they tried to get the mind, the heart, to go somewhere else, right? On fleshly things. What about music? Don't we all love music? You think the music industry knows you love music? Oh, yeah. So they get the beat and the tones and the rhythms and all that stuff we love. Oh, I love that. And then they put in the poison, the lyrics. Okay? So now that heart, loving God with all your heart, all of a sudden you're thinking about God, and then a song, a nasty song that you've been listening to, a nasty verse that you were listening to comes in your head. Okay, now that heart of yours is not exactly all in the game, right? Yeah. Oh, you got it. Big one. It was actually produced for that particular reason. It's mind control, you know? It's to control you. It's to put thoughts into you. It's to push. Now we have homosexuals, right? All this homosexuality, they're pushing that. They're trying to destroy the man. That's how they're destroying the man. And they want to feminize the man. They want them changing sex and things of that nature. And how do they get you to start really accepting it? By putting it in your eyes, what you see. You have to be careful what you put into your eyes, right? Because you see it. And you over and over again, and then all of a sudden you just start accepting it, right? It just becomes something we accept because we hear it all the time, like curse words, bad words, right? Listen to rap music these days. What do you hear? Curse words, curse words, curse words all the time. And so then you get to the point where you just get desensitized to it, and you start hearing it, and you bring that into your mind, and then guess what? God, the thing that we're supposed, God is his word, that is, we're supposed to be concentrating on and meditating on, goes out. So, with all your soul, all your might. And then verse 6 says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Okay, when we hear the words of God, we're commanded by the words of God, those are supposed to be in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts. We have to meditate on the word. And we have to use his word because Jesus Christ, remember when he went into the wilderness and the devil came after him after 40 days, you know, 40 nights. He's thirsty. He's hungry. And here comes Satan. And what tool, what weapon did Jesus Christ use against Satan? Huh? Word of God. Okay? Same thing. The sword is the word. And we in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And that sword is the word of God. That's how we cut. That's how we stab, is with the word of God. That's our weapon, okay? The helmet of salvation. And so in verse 7 it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Woo! Aren't we having trouble today with our young people? I drive a bus, a school bus, okay? for Richardson ISD. And let me tell you, the stuff that I see with our children, they're not being taught. They do not respect adults whatsoever. And if they don't expect mom and dad, Ephesians chapter, when we were looking at Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the full armor of God, that previous chapter in chapter 5, it talks about how you have to honor your mother and your father, obeying their commandments. Those are the first commandments we get, is mommy and daddy. And then that helps you to obey teacher, and then that's going to help you to obey the law, and then you obey God. But guess what? If you're not obeying mommy and daddy, are you going to obey a God that you can see? Are you going to obey a spirit that you cannot see? You know, that's the problem. They have to start in the home, the mother, the father, teaching them the basic fundamental principles. And in 7 it says, thou shalt teach them diligently. I mean, we're talking about when they wake up, when they throughout the day, at night, go to bed with them, you know, pray with them. That's what's missing in society. Yes. Not at all. And the problem with that, okay, if you have a person that does not respect God at all, guess what? They breed. They have kids. And when they have kids, how do you think that kid's going to be brought up? Same way, okay? Mom and daddy don't care nothing about God. So, they're not. Oh, yes, indeedy. That's true. Yes, yes. That's it. Exactly. Yes, we are. And that is so important. I mean, it's up to us. Sometimes parents are not there. And then we have to do our part. You know, I have situations where it's not being done in this classroom. So guess what? I have to do it on the bus. I have to teach fundamental principles on the bus. I have to try to reach them and teach them about Christ on the bus. And I had a class of kids. I said, do you know who Jesus is? Huh? Nobody on my bus knew who Jesus was. Nobody on my bus. These elementary kids went to church or read a Bible. None of them. Not a one. And that's what's going on. And so the Bible is very clear in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, when it says, thou shalt teach them diligently, the words of God, that is, diligently to thy children, and shall talk with them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I mean, we're talking all the time. Teach them about the Lord. Teach them about his commandments before they go to sleep, when they wake up, throughout the day. And that's what's missing. You got it. And see, these are fundamental. I went back to the Ten Commandments. Okay? These are fundamental, basic things. And they're not being done. And that's what happened in the book of Revelation when the Apostle John was allowed to look in the Spirit to go to heaven. And he was told about to take this message to the seven churches of Asia. And one of the churches there, that was their crime. They did a lot of good stuff, but they forgot their true love. Their first love, I'm sorry, the first love. They forgot the first fundamental basics, okay? And some people can do a lot of good things, a lot of good works, but they forget about the L-O-V-E, the love. And I've been in situations, oh, they had the Bible study, they did that, and they got the kids group and da-da-da, and couldn't love. Old Brother Eric walked in the door just to let them know, hey, I'm a minister over here at Main Street Church of Christ. But I wasn't exactly dressed very nice. I just had my street clothes on. Nobody would talk to me. The whole church, only one kid talked to me to tell me where to go. And the preacher looked and talked to everybody and kept looking at me, hoping I'd go away. And I was just sitting there smiling, waiting for my turn. Let him know who I was. And he came up and I read his mouth when he says, shoot, you know. Nobody went up to this guy, so I guess I'll have to, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I hope you come back again. And that was it. That was it. And I'm like, this man had no idea who I was, didn't even ask me my name or what anything about me, just assumed I was there to beg for money or to try to ask for something, and that's it. And then he blew me off, you know? And so, but again, our children, in verse 8 it says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. I mean, put them, they'll do that in the Orthodox Judaism. What they'll do is they'll put the words of God in this little box, and they put it right there in front, and that symbolizes them having the word of God in front of them all the time. But let's look at Ephesians. We'll go to the Old Testament, New Testament now, and we'll look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at we're going to start verse 13. This I say therefore and testify. This is again Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17. This I say therefore and testify unto the Lord that ye henceforth, once you become a Christian, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind. Vanity of your mind. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Okay, let's talk about Gentiles. People who are not godly. What kind of things do they do? Nobody knows, right? We're completely unaware of what the Gentiles do. Well, we know they're not good things a lot of times they do, right? So we're not to walk in the way of the Gentiles. The Gentiles listen to music with profanity in it and talk about sex and demonizes women. Should we be rocking and bumping to that same kind of music? Okay, because when people see us, they're going to think we're just like them. I had to give up a whole lifestyle of music because it's in the perception. We're supposed to even the appearance, put away even the appearance of that which is evil. So even though I may have been going in that club to listen to the music I like, because I'm in that club and they serve alcohol, guess what? They think I'm drinking. And if they're going around slam dancing and fighting and being violent, they're going to think I'm in there for that same reason, you know? And if these are godless people that don't believe in God mostly, then I'm there and I look like them, I'm dressed like them, they're going to think that I'm the same way. Okay? So I can't have my head shaved, I can't have a mohawk and green hair, and then think people are going to see me as a person who's separated, who is a Christian, who's obeying God's commands. I can't, you know, can't do it. That's the appearance. Now, I could be a good person, God-loving person, and just have green hair, you know, and a mohawk. With a leather jacket on, I could, right? But I understand that God tells me even the appearance, to refrain from even the appearance of that which is evil. So guess what? Now I can't go into where the Gentiles go. I may like the music, but I can't go into that club. Why? They serve alcohol, they do this, and so it's the appearance, right? Thank you. Yes. Yes. We got to walk in His way. Okay, I've got to think. Now, when I go to that punk rock club, I may not be drinking and anything, but can I have the Messiah right there next to me? Can I bring him to that club to listen to that kind of music and be around that scene? Would I feel comfortable if he was there with me? No. So if you can't see the Messiah being there with you, where you go, you don't need to be there. And then in verse 18 it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They are blind, but you see. So you can imagine you have wild swine. You have all these pigs that are blind, and they run, they just fall off this mountain, fall off this mountain, fall off this mountain. But you can see. You can see, oh, that edge, if I go down there, I'm going to fall. Are you going to go with them? No. So that's what it's saying. These are Gentiles. These are people that don't know God. They're blind. But you can see. You know, it's like Jesus giving sight to the blind man. That's what he did to us when we're saved, when we obey the gospel. Now he's given us the ability to what? Spiritually see. To spiritually be aware. And so once our eyes are open, it's like, whoa, I did that before as a drunk. You know, I was in a conversation with a good friend of mine. Man, I tell you, it was just the most fabulous conversation. I mean, this guy is deep. He really is. I enjoy this. This guy is fantastic. And then I was sober and went into the same conversation. And I'm like, what? He makes no sense whatsoever. I thought this guy was brilliant, man. I thought this was great while I was drunk, you know, while I was under the influence. I thought this guy was the greatest philosopher there was. And then I got sober. So what does that mean? I could see. I was in darkness at that time. But now God delivered me and I can see now. Okay? Things are different. I can't be in that same scene. I can't be around the Gentiles. It says in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, the works of uncleanness and greediness. Do we see that today? Do we see people who will do anything for money? They will sit and lie to you for money and power. They will go to war and have innocent people murdered and killed for power. They will lie to you on the pulpit as false preachers and teachers, sending people's souls to hell because they believe false doctrine for money and power. Don't think they won't do anything. There's people that are heartless. These are people who are paid assassins that basically have no feeling for you. They get an envelope with your name and the money, and they go after you, and they assassinate you, and they kill you. There are paid assassins that are heartless. They will kill you for money. Look at the mafia, okay? Look at Vegas. If you ever go to Vegas, man, the big buildings and all these things, and you're, wow! But the Bible says to beware of the city that is built on the blood of the innocent. And in Las Vegas, how many people were slaughtered and killed so that these mob bosses can have these big casinos and have that land and have the area? And you have one I know on the Indian burial ground, and that's that pyramid thing. It's a bad energy there. I went in there one time. I said, I'll never go again. Never go. You can feel the energy. I knew that was on a burial ground, a Native American burial ground. And so they don't care. And that's what we have to be careful. That's what's going on in the world today, because people do not follow the basic principles and fundamentals. And I don't have a watch, so I don't know what time it is right now. Okay, it's about that time to wrap it up. So let me go to one more. But ye have not, this is verse 20, but ye have not learned Christ. If so, be that have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is what in Christ. So many people searching for the truth, but they're searching the wrong way. They're searching for transcendental meditation to get them there. Some false religion to get them there. They're teaching, they want to be enlightened themselves, or witchcraft, or sorcery, astrology. There's all kinds of things going on today, right? And it says in verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversations, the old man. What does that mean when you're a Christian? No longer are you this way you were when you were not exactly. You don't dress the same way. You really don't, especially when you dress as radical as I did. But you can't be associated with it. It's a uniform. If I had that leather jacket, spikes and chains, and people are going to assume that I think a certain way, that I live my life a certain way, and that I am part of their world, just like a biker. Put it on there. You know, you think of your biker, Scorpion. You put a Scorpion biker on, and that biker gang comes, they're going to think you're one of them, right? They're going to assume that you are one of them. We have to be careful. Our conversation, we can't talk the same. I used to have a foul mouth, okay? I can't have a foul mouth and try to profess Christ, that I know Christ with a foul mouth. So I got to change. There's things we have to change. concerning our former selves, put it off, it says. And this is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 22. That ye may put off concerning the former conversation. I philosophize and theorize about everything. Me and my friend Steve got on the phone, and I tell you, we can solve every mystery of the world. But it was our opinion, okay? That and a bus ticket to get you right. You know, my opinion doesn't mean anything. His opinion didn't mean anything. My theory, my hypothetical theory, it's not based on the Word of God, the truth. It ain't worth anything, right? So that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's what God considers us. That was the old man that you used to be before you were baptized, before you obeyed the truth. That's the old man. Put that old man off. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful what? Lust. Because when I was a punk rocker, I was all about me. When everybody was in their sin, it's all about you. If you're an alcoholic, it's all about that taste and drugs and everything. Whatever it is, sex, right? It's all about the fulfilling the pleasure. Cursing makes me feel good when I curse somebody out if I'm mad at them, right? That's all pleasure. That's lust, right? If I want something, I'm looking at something, I'm thinking about it, I want to go get it, I want money. That guy's got a big house, beautiful wife, got a nice boat, and got a chance to live next to the lake. I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to think about ways to get that money so I can do like them. And you have people that are on the street willing and dealing and they're selling drugs, right? Because they can get the money really quick. And then they go buy the big BMW cars and this and that and the women and the lifestyle. So that's the kind of stuff that the world does. But that's what God says we should be opposite of, right? And so today I just wanted to look at those things, especially let's go back, look at the Ten Commandments, let's go back to the basics, and then look at how we're supposed to live our lives today. Any questions before we conclude the class? No questions. All right. Any comments before we leave the class? It is. Yeah. Yep. Everybody in here, here's your world. Spiritual, the one that wants to follow God. The flesh, the physical, that wants to please the flesh. And guess what they're always doing? 24/7, they're always fighting and going against each other. That's normal. God understands that. God put it in His Word so that you understand it. Don't beat yourself up. That's why we're human, okay? He knows we're human. But that's always going to happen. But you're right. It's all about free will. You have the choice to go one way or the other. Okay, may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of His Word. Thank you guys and bless you all.